2 Timothy chapter 3. This morning, we come to a passage of Scripture that I like to call a flagship passage, all right? It's a passage of Scripture that is really the mother of many other Scriptures like it. Much like John 3:16 is a flagship verse concerning salvation. And God there gives us the purpose for sending His Son to earth. At the end of chapter 3 here in 2 Timothy, God gives us the purpose of giving us His Word, of giving us the Bible. Through this given purpose, we're going to learn why we can have such confidence in it. 2 Timothy 3:14 begins. It begins by saying, "But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of." That's where we're going to begin this morning. But as we read that, one question that we might ask right off the bat is, why wouldn't Timothy continue? Why wouldn't he continue in the things that he'd learned and been assured of? And to answer that question, all we have to do really is look back one verse. Verse 13 says this, "But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." And as we look at it in that context, we think, no doubt, it would be very easy for young Pastor Timothy to get discouraged with this happening in the world, with the increasing intensity and pressure from false teachers. He may even begin to doubt some of the things that he had learned. Okay, so in contrast, Paul is here reminding him not only of what he learned from Scriptures, but he was also assured of them. He was assured of them. And the word assured here means something had convinced Timothy of the uniqueness of the Bible. Something had convinced Timothy that the Bible was special. It was different from every other writing and every other teaching out there. And this is why he must continue. All right? George Washington Carver is perhaps best known for inventing peanut butter. Lord bless him, right? He was actually the child of slave parents, though, growing up in very difficult conditions. But he became a master chemist and actually has right close to 500 inventions to his name. Even in the face of much opposition, simply because of his skin color, George Washington Carver continued. He continued. Why did he? Well, here's his words. He said, "The secret of my success, it's simple. It is found in the Bible. It is found in the Bible." He was referred to as a man's slave, but God's scientist, all right? He continued because of the uniqueness that he found in the Word of God. Sir Isaac Newton discovered how the universe is held together, all right, through the force of gravity. He also invented the branch of mathematics known as calculus. And he discovered secrets of light and color. He is sometimes described as one of the greatest names in the history of human thought. Why did this man discover so much? Why was he so persistent? He said, "I have a fundamental belief in the Bible as the Word of God. When I look at the solar system and I see the earth at the right distance from the sun to receive proper amounts of heat and light," he says, "this didn't just happen by chance. It didn't happen by chance. It's just as God said it is." Sir Isaac Newton continued because of the uniqueness of the Scriptures. As a young boy, Christopher Columbus trusted Christ as his Savior and discovered the ways of God. This little-known fact was the reason for his adventurous life. He felt that God wanted him to explore the world and find new land and people so that Christ could be proclaimed there. He said, "At this time, I both read and studied all kinds of literature, histories, chronicles, and philosophies, and other arts, to which our Lord opened my mind unmistakably to the fact that it was possible to navigate from here to the Indies, and he evoked in me the will for the execution of it." He goes on to say, and all those who heard my plan disregarded it mockingly with laughter. He said, "All the sciences of which I spoke were of no profit to me, only God's highnesses, which comforted with rays of marvelous clarity and with its holy and sacred scriptures." Christopher Columbus continued because of the uniqueness of the Word of God, the Bible. It was different from everything else he had read. So what was it that would convince Timothy to continue in the things that he had learned from Scripture? Well, in our passage today, Paul focuses on four areas that demonstrate the uniqueness of the Bible and convinced Timothy to continue even in the face of increasing opposition and deception. And there is a lesson here for us as well. The subject that I want to look at this morning is convinced to continue from 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we're going to be looking at verses 14 through 17 this morning. And again, our passage begins with a word of contrast, okay? In contrast to the increase of evil men and imposters, verse 14 says this. It says, "But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them." And the first area that demonstrates the Bible's uniqueness is people are changed by Scripture. People are changed by Scripture. Timothy, you know from whom you have learned the truth. All right? You have personally seen the evidence, and the Bible gives evidence of, first of all, truly transformed lives. Paul reminds Timothy from whom he had learned the truth of God's Word. And I can't help but think that Paul had himself in mind as he spoke these words or wrote these words to Timothy. You see, Paul was Timothy's primary biblical teacher. Paul went through a huge, dramatic change as he learned the truth of Scripture. Once Paul recognized that the Old Testament, which he had already known inside and out, once he recognized that the Old Testament spoke of Jesus as Christ, Paul instantly went from being on a murdering rampage of Christians to becoming the predominant spokesman for Christianity. That's the change that Paul went through. And Timothy knew about that dramatic change in Paul's life. The transformed life of Paul served to convince Timothy of the uniqueness of the Bible. Not only does the Bible create truly transformed lives, but it creates truly teaching lives. Lives that teach others. Timothy learned the truth because the life of his teachers consistently displayed it. Yes, Christians still have a sin nature. They still fall into sin. And hypocrites will still be found in the church. But a truly transformed life will be a teaching life. It'll be a teaching life. Even King David. King David was guilty of some of the most horrendous sins. Adultery, murder. He knew his sinfulness. He didn't make excuses for his sinfulness. But he continued to repent and remorse over his sin. And each time he fell into sin, he openly recognized his failure and sought the forgiveness and mercy of his Lord. Therefore, Scripture calls him a man after God's own heart. And we can learn from his life, even his failures. The Bible is unique because it transforms lives into truly Christ-like examples. People that are changed by Scripture demonstrate the uniqueness of it. Second, the second area that demonstrates the Bible's uniqueness is prudence is contained in the Scriptures. Prudence is contained in the Scriptures. Prudence is the wise and cautious discerning of evil from good. The Bible is unique because it clearly and plainly discerns the wickedness of man from the holiness of God. And it can bring us to the conclusion that we simply need God to rescue us. That's the Bible message. That's the Bible message from cover to cover. Hinduism, and I'm mentioning this not to cut it, I'm going to tell you only what it advertises about itself, all right? Hinduism is considered the most complex world religion. And what I'm about to state about Hinduism are things that it advertises about itself. Hinduism incorporates dozens of other world religions and their writings. It incorporates literally thousands of gods, both good and bad, that one can pray to, pray against, use, or worship. Hinduism has hundreds of different gurus with hundreds of different philosophies, and man is always the hero as he earns his way to a better life. In Hinduism, there is always a new teaching, always new revelation, and always new so-called wisdom. It is ever changing. Complexity, change, and really, man as a hero are traits of every man-made religion. But the Word of God, according to Hebrews 13:8, and speaking of it in the form of Jesus Christ himself, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's what Hebrews 13:8 says. And God's Son is the only hero. He is the only hero. Verse 15 tells us that since childhood, Timothy knew the truth of Scripture. Let's read it. It says, that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. It's that simple. It's that simple. From this verse, we learn at least three wise and consistent qualities contained in Scripture. Number one, Scripture can be learned by a child. It can be learned by a child. Timothy was in his childhood when he gained the wisdom of the Scriptures. And again, our verse is speaking of Timothy's knowledge of the Old Testament. And even the Old Testament has the message of sinful man needing a Savior. It's a message that is simple and clear. The gospel message is so simple that even a child can see and understand the wisdom of it. Secondly, we learned that the Scripture is holy. He calls it the Holy Scriptures, okay? And this word alone describes the uniqueness of the Bible. This book is different from every other book because it truly is the sacred words of God. And then thirdly, Scripture can lead one to salvation. Scripture reveals God's perfection. God is perfect. His heaven is a perfect dwelling place, and nothing imperfect can be in it. Psalm 5:4 says, "For you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness, nor shall evil dwell with you." Scripture reveals God's perfection. Scripture reveals man's condition. Man is imperfect. Man is a sinner and therefore disqualified from God's perfect heaven. Jeremiah 17:9, speaking of your heart and my heart, says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked." That's the heart of you and I. Scripture reveals man's condition. So if man has any hope of heaven rather than hell, he has a great need that he cannot fill himself. Thirdly, Scripture reveals God's provision, which is Jesus Christ. And both Old and New Testament reveal this to us. Isaiah 53:6 says, "The Lord has laid on him," that is Jesus, "the iniquity of us all." Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." He took the penalty for sin that we deserved. Scripture reveals God's provision. And then fourthly, Scripture reveals the way of salvation. Let's read verse 15 again. "And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." John 3:16 tells us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." We have a rescue from sin through placing our faith in the person and work of Jesus Christ. The Bible is unique because it glorifies God and convicts man. The theologian Lewis Sperry Chafer said, "The Bible is not such a book as man would write if he could, nor could write if he would." It glorifies God, it exposes man, and offers a free rescue. That is the wisdom of Scripture. The third area that demonstrates the Bible's uniqueness is power is confirmed through the Scripture. Let's read just the very first part of verse 16. It says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God." Here we move from what we were specifically told that Timothy already knew to something perhaps he didn't yet know. But Paul reveals it here. He says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God." Now, there are many teachings out there that have claimed to be authored by God. Many, many teachings, many writings that claim to say, "No, this one here is God's word." Okay, but listen to some of the things contained in some of these writings. Okay, and we're going to go from some broad things to some things that are minute. But either way, God should know better, right? Here's some of the things some of them say. One teaches that the earth sits on the back of a great turtle that is swimming in a cosmic sea. That's from one of the writings, okay? Yet another teaches that the god Atlas supports the earth on his shoulders. Of course, that's one that is taken from a belief that was truly believed at one time, okay, but now is commonly known as mythology, all right? One teaches that matter doesn't really exist, okay, that's fake. And pain is a figment of our imagination, all right? Another teaches that the soul doesn't exist and what you are is all there is. It's just the physical, period. One teaches that great cities populated by literally millions of people, their exact placement, yet there is no archaeological evidence. It's a fictitious story. Many make predictions that never came true. Many predicted the end of the world on a particular date that came and went. One teaches that aluminum foil is evil. Another speaks of steel swords being used in a great battle hundreds of years before steel was invented. one would think that God would know some of these things, all right? That he would know better. One would think that God could get it right. Well, the Bible claims to be the Word of God and confirms that it is through its power and accuracy. And what I'm about to share with you is not from Craig. These are verifiable facts, okay, concerning the Bible. Number one, lives are changed by the Bible. Its wisdom is timeless and has changed lives for thousands of years. The Bible is inexhaustible. It's been around for thousands of years, yet you and I can still gain wisdom from it that is relevant to us right now. We can learn new things about God and ourselves right now. It is inexhaustible. It is accurate on every topic of which it speaks, whether science, medicine, astronomy, geology, anthropology, geography. It contains a code of ethics that is unmatched and has become literally the model for most human governments. It predicts the future hundreds of times, hundreds of years in advance with perfect accuracy. It has never made a wrong prediction. The 66 books of the Bible were penned over the course of a span of over 1,500 years by over 40 different authors in three different languages on three different continents, yet it is completely harmonious. I couldn't start a story and whisper it in the ear over here and have it come out the same over here. Okay? Yet over 1,500 years, three different languages, over 40 different authors, and the Bible, cover to cover, agrees with itself. How can this be? The same author. The same author was behind every penman, God himself. Listen to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. It says this, "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." The same author of all Scripture. That word Spirit that I just used in that 2 Peter passage is the same word that is used for inspired or breathed in verse 16. All right, it's the same word. It also has the exact same meaning as the word God used to describe breathing life into Adam and Eve. The exact same word. Verse 16a, the very first part of that verse here in 2 Timothy, is saying that all Scripture is divinely breathed. It has the life of God in it. And Hebrews 4:12 says the Word of God is living and powerful. How much of the Word of God is living and powerful? Well, verse 16 says all. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All means God breathed every word of Scripture. As the original men were moved by the Spirit and penned those words given to them by God, by God's design, they were all God-breathed, every single word. All means God breathed equally the words of Scripture. There are not some portions of the Bible that are more inspired than others. They are all the words of God. They are all equally important, and they are equally alive and powerful. And then God breathed means it's trustworthy. It's trustworthy. It not only claims to be the very words of God, it verifies and proves that it is. As God in all His power could provide us with His Word, certainly God in all His power has preserved it. We have the Bible. We have the Word of God even today. Jesus said in Matthew 5:18, said, "For assuredly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one jot or one tittle." That is the two smallest marks in the Hebrew text. He says, not one jot nor one tittle will by no means pass away from the law until all is fulfilled. Jesus predicted, he prophesied that this word of God would stay pure. The Bible is unique because it is perfectly accurate in whatever it talks about because the all-knowing God of the universe breathed it. He breathed it. The fourth area that demonstrates the Bible's uniqueness is profitability is completed with Scripture. Profitability is completed with Scripture. Let's read all of 16 and 17. It says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." One of the biggest construction projects that I've ever done on my own was the finishing of the basement of our first house. And as I initiated that project, a friend of mine gave me a book, a how-to manual, a handyman book that covered virtually every aspect of the construction that I would be doing. It taught me concrete work, framing, plumbing, electrical, how to hang doors, insulating, sheetrocking, texturing, painting, carpeting, and finished work. And if it didn't cover the exact detail of what I was doing, it would give a principle that could lead me and teach me how to. That book was a detailed instruction manual that equipped me to do the job. Well, the Bible is an instruction manual. It is our instruction manual for life. And it can equip us for every good work, everything that we may encounter in life. And if the Bible doesn't speak directly about one particular issue that we happen to be going through at a certain time, it will teach a principle that applies. And our verse says that it's profitable, first of all, because of doctrine. The Bible teaches man. It will show us what is right. It'll show us what is right. Doctrine is profitable. Doctrine teaches us about who God is. It teaches us about who we are. It teaches us about the world, about the angelic realm, about heaven and hell and sin and salvation. The teachings of the Bible show us what is right and true. And if we know what is right and true, we can discern evil from good. We can discern evil when we see it. Secondly, the Bible reproves man. It will show us when we've done wrong. All right. Reproof is profitable. It means to convict. While we can know what is right, the Bible will also convict us when we are wrong. It will expose our sin. Thirdly, the Bible corrects man. It will show us how to get right. Correction is profitable. It shows us how to get back on track when we have strayed. And then fourthly, the Bible instructs man in righteousness. It will show us how to keep right. Instruction is profitable. It describes what righteousness looks like and how one lives it. Knowing the profitability of Scripture, we owe it to ourselves to know what the Word of God says. We owe it to the Word of God to systematically and consistently study it. And we owe it to our Lord to be equipped for every good work. Verse 17 really gives us the reason. This is the reason that God gave us His Word right here. Verse 17. That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. The Bible completes man. It shows us our right purpose. The Word of God makes us proficient. It is thorough. It completes us. It perfectly equips us to do the work of God in the world. The Bible is unique because it is the only book that thoroughly equips a man for a life of service to his Lord. What was it that convinced Timothy to continue in the things that he had learned from Scripture? The people whose lives Scripture changed. The prudence that is contained within the Scripture. The power that is confirmed through Scripture. And the profitability that can only be completed through Scripture. All of these things demonstrate the uniqueness of the Bible and convince Timothy to continue. About a year ago, there was a 65-year-old man from Waterloo, Ontario, who went out on Lake Superior floating around on a little styrofoam wakeboard. And as he was out there, the wind was kind of pushing him around. At one point, bigger than normal wave came along and toppled him off of the board. And with the wind going, it quickly took his board and blew it away from him. And he had drifted quite far out into the lake and started swimming back to shore. And it wasn't long before he started running out of energy. And he started going under. He was exhausted. Some people on the shore kind of saw everything that was taking place. And they immediately started making their way out to him. But as they were going out to him, he kept going under and under and under. And finally didn't come up. Well, the people got out there, drug him to shore, tried to administer CPR, but it was too late. He was dead. He had died. He drowned. The most tragic part of this story is that all of this, every bit of it, took place in 4 feet of water. This part of Lake Superior, even as far as he drifted all the way out there, he was only in 4 feet of water, but he didn't know it. He didn't know it, and he thrashed around and he ended up drowning. He could have just stood up at any time and lived. He had beneath him exactly what he needed to survive in this time of danger, but because he was ignorant of it, it cost him dearly. He drowned in 4 feet of water. Well, we have been given the very words of God to equip us for life, all right? To keep us from danger. We have free access to it. It's right there. It's right there for us to read, to study, to strengthen us in the knowledge of God and life. But how tragic it would be to drown in the dangerous deception of false teachers with the Word of God right underneath us, just beckoning us to stand. Just stand. Just stand. The Apostle Paul, cautioning the church at Thessalonica about this very danger, said this. He said, "Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the tradition which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle." And he goes on, he says, "Now may the Lord Jesus Christ and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts," and get this, "establish you in every good word and work." Let's close in prayer this morning. Father in heaven, Lord, we just thank you for loving us enough to give us your word and teach us about yourself. Thank you for loving us enough that you would preserve that word for all generations. Thank you for loving us enough to give your only Son, your only begotten Son, that we might have life eternal. Father God, forgive us for not reading that word. Forgive us for not looking into the word that you have given us to find out and learn more about you, to learn what pleases you and what displeases you. Forgive us, Lord, for not reading your word and studying it with every ounce of our energy, Lord God, that we might live that life pleasing to you. Lord, all you desire from us is that we grow in your admonition, that we become more and more like your Son, to live our lives, Lord, to do your work. You've given us eternal life, Father God. I pray, Lord God, that we would recognize what you've given us, allow it to transform our lives, recognize the wisdom and prudence contained in it, recognize the power in your Scripture, and allow it to be profitable in our lives. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.